Good evening, everybody. This is Radio Edu Talk, broadcasting on Wednesday, the 12th of March. My name's David Noble. I'm over in Dalgety Bay, and as ever, joined by my co-host, John Johnson, who's over in the west of Scotland. And welcome to Radio Edu Talk. There's been a couple of blog posts and articles on the Scottish Government website in recent times, so if this is your first time listening to Radio Edu Talk, you're most welcome, and please consider getting in touch with us as tonight's show goes on. We've been on the go now for several years in various guises, and basically Edu Talk is a website that's mostly consists of audio. Anybody can send in any educational audio to be checked by John and I, and then we put it up online for others to listen. And kind of mainstay of the website is our Wednesday evening shows, where we invite people from right across. Yeah. That's to say, we've got Wednesday night shows, and on this occasion, delighted to welcome Sarita Puri of Into Film. If you are interested in finding out some information, just at the start of this show, just as we're hearing about Sarita's background, then you can go to edutalk.cc, and you will see a couple of links. One is a link to the Into Film website, which we'll be hearing a lot about later on, and also it says click here for pre-show reading, and that's just a link with further background information about Into Film. And also Sarita's kindly offered us three reflective questions, and we're very big into that on EduTalk, where we ask our guests to come on with just a few questions that you might want to ponder during the show, or maybe as part of your professional learning, either on your own or with colleagues at a later date. So many thanks for those, Sarita. So just to start off with, could you give us a background to your career and your present role with Into Film?
Yes, of course. Thank you. So I've sort of spent about the past 10 years working across the education and youth sector with a varied focus throughout different roles I've had. So I started off with quite a focus in further education, higher education, working in the student movement, and I've also worked for a project within NUS Scotland called Sparks, which is student participation across Quality Scotland, really focusing on quality enhancement of further and higher education. I'm very passionate about that, and that's sort of transferred to my current role working within film education. I also spent about 4 years at Scotland's Commissioner for Children and Young People, so the focus there was very much on children's rights, but looking at how we can enhance that through education and through youth settings, and ensuring that all young people know about their rights and that all rights are adhered to. And then before joining Into Film, I've also worked at the British Youth Council, so largely looking at sort of democracy education, again, youth work. So quite varied, but all very joined up. So currently I'm at Into Film, and I joined just at the tail end of Into Film being a film club, which some listeners might be familiar with. Film Club was a previous charity that was largely just in England and Wales due to the Department for Education funding, but did have some work in Scotland through a pilot that was done through Scottish Screen a few years ago, and then through the sort of latter part of last year. So Film Club was one charity. First Light was another charity, which did a lot of filmmaking projects across the whole of the UK and quite a lot of brilliant work in Scotland, and sort of brilliant storytelling there. And Into Film has sort of recently been created as a merger of those two charities. And I joined there in the summer last year, just as we were expanding to be UK-wide, and have since been the programme coordinator for the programme in Scotland.
Okay, that's fantastic. So just straight away, just tell us about what Into Film is and what kind of changes it's led to in terms of practices within school, you know, around media education.
Sure, fantastic. So as I mentioned, we were previously Film Club in First Light, and Film Club was very much, as it says on the tin, really about watching and understanding films, giving young people the opportunity to review them and talk about them. So getting them involved in sort of film literacy and overall general literacy to begin with. And First Light was about filmmaking. So what happened was the British Film Institute, the BFI, wanted to appoint a single delivery organisation with lottery funding across the whole of the UK to deliver a programme for 5 to 19-year-olds for the first time, just fully combining all these elements of watching, making and understanding and learning through and learning about film. So that is where Into Film came from. And in terms of how it really sort of helps the curriculum, so whilst we will still offer a film club model and support sort of schools and youth settings to do that, which obviously helps contribute towards the broad general education, to literacy, social cohesion, critical thinking, so much more. We will also do a lot more in the classroom. The main part of this, I suppose, would be learning resources. And there is some information on that in the pre-summary that you mentioned, mm-hmm. as well as on our website. So basically, what we've done in each nation is we've delivered a bespoke delivery plan, an education plan, because obviously in Scotland we're working on curriculum for excellence, which is very different than the other three nations in the UK. So all of our, we will be doing some bespoke resources, specifically on curriculum for excellence. Just this afternoon I was busy workshopping on the content for our Commonwealth Games resource, which is really exciting. That'll be out just after Easter. And then not long after, maybe a week or so after, we will be also doing a resource on democracy and debate, sort of linking to the referendum and looking at sort of issues of citizenship around the world. We've also launched at the Scottish Learning Festival last year, we launched our Roald Dahl, looking at Roald Dahl books and film. And whilst we named it a resource about literacy, you'll actually see that it goes across most curriculum areas in primary, so it's breast part of technologies and everything. And whilst those are bespoke for Curriculum for Excellence, any other resources that we might make UK-wide, they are divided up into each of the four nations and the four curriculums to see how they enhance and support each of those. So that's one great thing that teachers can take away and take into the classroom. But one of the really important things is ensuring and enabling teachers to be able to use film in the classroom. So whilst you know teachers might be quite familiar with putting a film on, they might not be as familiar with actual film literacy and learning about a film as well as learning through a film. So in our resources, we will aim to not only have discussions about themes and issues, but we will also look at of film technique and analysis. And really in Scotland we're in a brilliant position because film is a text and there's so much you can do there in terms of interpreting, analysing, creating your own texts and so on. So in terms of support for teachers, there will be CPD training in a variety of ways and settings. So some of that will be online. There might be a simple how-to guide on how to use film in the classroom, as well as bespoke CPD training sessions. In Scotland at the moment, we've just undertaken a sort of audit of CPD, quite a sort of broad brush across Scotland and seeing what's provided maybe by local authorities, maybe Scotland-wide, maybe just independently. We find a lot of teachers are self-learners, and that's sort of been on the back of a resources audit that we did last year. So obviously, the resources in the CPD are very linked. So we are just in the process of talking with agencies and teachers on what we should do next and what should be our priorities for CPD. But some things that came out through our advisory period last year was support across the curriculum. So whilst English and media in National and Higher were highlighted as the obvious places for film to be used, it was where else can we get film into the curriculum? As well as a big push on literacy. So obviously, with that being the responsibility of all teachers across all sort of ages and stages, we want to ensure that our resources and our support enables that. And really, when you're talking about film, as I said, with film being a part of CFE, then it's really, really an open door for us in that sense. And other parts that we're looking at is maybe getting film into places you wouldn't think it as well. So some of the... in terms of the STEM subjects, so your science, technologies, and engineering, and maths, it's because actually some of that can come through really well in filmmaking. The other thing that I'll touch on now is filmmaking, because that is something that, whilst it was part of the original First Light programme, that's something we want to encourage across the board. So filmmaking in youth clubs, filmmaking in a film club, filmmaking in the classroom as part of the curriculum. And you can do that from anything from creating a sort of storyboard to then enhance your ideas. So that alternative way of creating text and analysing. You can do the note-taking through analysing trailers and clips of films, as well as sort of making a whole film from start to finish, which has got a lot of sort of developmental goals and achievements that a young person can get.
Sounds fantastic, Sirita. I'll just say at this point, if any listeners to the live show or to the podcast want to get in touch, then you can email edutalker, that's edutalkr @hotmail.co.uk, or if you just pop something on Twitter and include the hashtag edutalk. And of course, if you do that during the next 20 minutes or so, then we'll be able to put your comment or question direct to Sirita. Now, people who maybe kind of new to Interfilm or you know, previously had some kind of rough awareness of what Film Club did. Can you just clarify then, so that the support for individual film clubs and schools that yeah. continues, and if it does continue, is it kind of very loose support, or do you have excellent models of how people should run their film clubs?
Definitely. So yes, it's a very, very bespoke service, and basically what a school does is they join on our website. There's a section on the Interfilm website on film clubs, and it's a really easy process to go through. You watch a sort of 15-minute induction online, or I do sort of live inductions in person. These are normally an hour and a half, because it means you can do a bit more interactive discussions and so on, and actually really, really understand what we're about. I'll do a quick plug then, because I've got one coming up in Glasgow on Thursday the 3rd of April from 4 till 5:30. If anyone's interested, they can just get in touch with me and I can book them a place on that, and it's in central Glasgow on the Trongate. And basically what happens once someone joins us as a film club is they get support from a coordinator. So at the moment I coordinate all of Scotland, but as Scotland grows, as our presence in Scotland grows, then we'll sort of divvy that up amongst new staff, and they get access to DVDs, so free DVD rentals through ourselves. We are partnered with Love Film, who deliver a lot of our DVDs. But we also have an in-house DVD library, which is massive, but not as massive as obviously what Love Film must have in their warehouses. And our library is really there to help supplement that and ensure that if teachers want a specific thing at a specific time, you can get that to them. Or we have a lot of films Love Film might not have, so a lot more of their sort of specialised and independent films, which is sort of one of our remits as well. We're wanting to open up young people's eyes to the sort of wider world that's out there, be that in cinema, but also what they might experience in their day-to-day lives. So once they've joined Film Club, they have access to the website where they can order DVDs. In the future, we hope that we'll be going sort of with streaming, but at the moment, DVDs is really accessible. You know, there's some parts of Scotland where access to the internet isn't brilliant, and if you're trying to stream something, it's not going to be successful. So we think that DVDs are the way forward just now. They can also download and access resources online. We've got a load of other sort of support and opportunities. So there is an industry interaction program where young people can get involved in that. So through a sort of talent development scheme, they can be involved in reviewing, programming and reporting. So that might be at the Edinburgh International Film Festival. It could be down doing red carpet events in London. We sent one of our young people from North Lanarkshire over to LA to do a thing on Frozen. So, you know, the opportunities are vast in that. And that's really about sort of helping them maybe expand their skills as well as a potential career route. And that could be anything into a reporting career, a film production career, you know, absolutely anything, because we're wanting to support people getting into film as a career as well. So we offer that. And another thing alongside that through film clubs is sort of going into schools and delivering workshops and sessions. So last week, I was in a school doing review writing workshops in Stirling. But we might also take filmmakers into schools. We had the Skyfall set designer in a school just outside Glasgow last year. You know, so there's all sorts of different things that once you become a film club, that open to you. And in terms of support, I'm the main point of contact, myself and my colleague, Coffey, who helps with Bits of Scotland. And then we're here anytime you need a hand. So it could be, where are my DVDs? Or I'm wanting to run a session on friendship, or we're celebrating French cinema this week, and or a teacher might want to use something in the classroom as opposed to in the club, and they can come to us and we can give them that bespoke and specialised advice.
Well, that sounds it's just a fantastic range of services there you've got, Sarita. I've got a few kind of questions that are probably slightly tangential to what you've been saying, but it's sort of bubbled up. One of the things that, you know, this idea of teaching film literacy as opposed to, well, literacy, and at the moment there's, for instance, that there's a bit of movement around web literacy and teaching children how the internet works, really, how to read it, how to write it, and all the rest of it, and that's very wrapped up in the sort of idea of exploration and play and making things, as in, you know, making stuff for the web. And I wonder if you see the creation of film or video by pupils as a way into literacy.
Can you repeat the last bit?
So do you see the you know, say the creation of films by pupils as a way into literacy?
You're sort of understanding your text, you're understanding your art form. So if we sort of strip it back to a piece of film being a text, then they can, you know, you've got the same as in a textbook, in terms of you've got your character, you've got your story, and you're developing all of that. But then with film, you're also bringing in your sound, you're bringing in your camera, you're bringing everything in that creates the image, and you really can analyse why. So you can sort of get young people to identify it, and you can get them to analyse it throughout the creation, all the way through to the end. And then when you're reflecting on it and editing it and then showing it, which is a really important part of making a film, you're really seeing why you've done that, and other people can question why you've done it as well. So I think, yeah, it's a really, really important way of opening up literacy to pupils.
And sort of following on from that, there's also quite a lot of people interested in education in what's sort of framed as digital storytelling, which quite often can involve video work, but maybe a lot more casual, a lot more shorter, the sorts of things that people self-publish on YouTube that are not as artistic, perhaps, or artistic in a different way than traditional. Do you see that's a valuable sort of parallel to more traditional filmmaking?
Yeah, of course. Everything's got its place, and the fact that young people want to pick up cameras and tell their story, tell their community story, create a really interesting piece of art is very valuable. But what you're learning there in terms of digital literacy or the wider world, or even just talking to other people and creating something is so valuable. And what we find is that young people then come into filmmaking. They actually come into filmmaking really, really much more able than we probably would have, because they're already familiar with this. And you know, there's not we're not going to say, oh, it has to be of a certain quality. We also get submissions from young people of films, so we'll run filmmaking competitions, or when we run our annual youth film festival, we always get young people to create the films for that. And that could be actually something. It could be something they've done in school or through a filmmaking project. But actually, quite a few of the entries last year were young people making films themselves, and actually having that opportunity to share. And I think that is the really important thing. And you see it with all the of YouTube phenomenon nowadays is young people sharing that and actually expressing themselves. And that's one of the most beautiful things about film, is it's giving the opportunity to young people to be creative and to express themselves.
Yeah, certainly.
Sarita, I'm wondering about the kind of returning to the film clubs that you've helped to establish and are working with in Scotland. Can you pick out one or two that either have really excited you, or you've found to be innovative in the way that they run, or where maybe a school has kind of taken the loose idea of film club and run with it in their own particular way?
Yeah, of course. So we've got film clubs across the whole of Scotland. We've only been sort of established in Scotland since August, so since the term started, and we've already got about 200 film clubs set up, which is brilliant, and there's a real appetite for it. And we've got clubs everywhere, so obviously got a lot in Glasgow, Edinburgh, but we've also got all the way from Jedburgh, we've got Oban, Orkney, Shetland, and I suppose the club in Shetland really did inspire me. So when they got in touch, it's Burrville Primary on Yell, and the school is 13 pupils across all the primary, and it's one class, and they run the film club all together as one class. And what's really beautiful there is it's they all sort of work together to choose the films, and they all share their views. And because it's quite a small school and class, they all really get that chance to sort of have their youth voice, which is really nice. And it just goes to show that actually we're giving them such an important cultural opportunity, because whilst, yes, they might be able to watch film, maybe through the internet or through DVDs, being part of the film club, watching it on hopefully the big screen, watching it all together as an event, and watching the whole film is just really, really nice for them, and them getting to watch films that might not come around to them that often as well. So that's a really nice example. I have to mention a few of our longer-term schools that have been involved in a few years. A couple spring to mind. Primary First, Giffnock Primary in East Renfrewshire. The leader there has been involved since we were a pilot back in, I think, 2009-10, before my time, but many years. What he does is, he's actually just restructured it. For the next term, he's splitting it into three blocks of 3 weeks. So that more pupils in the school can be involved. He has said that you sign up to a 3 week block, and those blocks I think are musicals, anime, so Studio Ghibli type films, and action and adventure. And then that way pupils can come to what they're really passionate about. They can come to it because they might like action, like sort of typical action adventure, but this teacher in particular, he's got a brilliant knowledge of film, so he will then introduce them to something unique, something different, something that will get them thinking. And I went to one of his clubs last year, and what he does is at the start of the session, he does a little PowerPoint with them, and he says, right, what genre is this? We're watching Mouse Hunt that day, so he was talking about comedy, some about slapstick. He linked it to films like Home Alone, but also to things like Lauren Hardy and Marx Brothers. So really, really getting them to understand film and cinema, and then talking to the master about what it was before then going on and writing a review. And you find that the reviews that come out of clubs like that are really, really good, because they've actually discussed it, they've shared their opinion before they've then gone on to write it. And I'll just highlight one of our other sort of longer-term ones, Cardinal Newman in Belt Hill is one again that's been involved for a few years, and I'm highlighting them because they've sort of taken advantage of the offer across the board. Quite a few of their pupils are involved in our different programs like talent development, and they use film a lot in the classroom. So the teacher that runs it is a history teacher, so he's actually used Braveheart in history lessons to sort of show inaccuracies in the historical story, as well as having a club where he has a couple of the older pupils, the sort of 5th and 6th years, who really help him set it up. So we've given them sort of pupil ownership, really. They sort of help set it up. They choose the films. They'll sell sort of popcorn and juice at the start. They're really lucky because they've got like a big like lecture theatre media suite with a massive screen and stuff. So it's perfect for showing a film, and they really can recreate that cinema atmosphere there. So those are hopefully a few examples that can just give you a little taste of how it works. And what we always say, because every school that joins is so different, is that it's up to the teachers and the school and the pupils how it will work best for them. And then I'll give them advice. So, you know, a lot of rural schools run their club at lunchtime because they don't have time after school because the bus is coming to take all the kids home. Or they might run it after school. They might run it as part of a specific part of the curriculum. within set periods. Normally that's in secondary school. There's all sorts of different ways, and you know, they can either run a whole film at once or they could split it into two parts. There's another school that does feature films after school, but then does short films at lunchtime and then discussions like once a week, and so on. And that teacher's really giving up a lot of their time. I'm not saying everyone has to do that, but you know, he's just really passionate about film, so does that. So, you know, it can work in every single way. And one other example I'll give you actually is Glasgow Gaelic School. So they're the first fully Gaelic school to sign up with Film Club. We've got some schools in the sort of islands in Argyll and Bute that have Gaelic, but aren't wholly Gaelic medium education. But Glasgow Gaelic School, the whole curriculum is obviously delivered in Gaelic, but what they do with the films, because you may know there's a lack of Gaelic film, is they watch films in English and then review and discuss in Gaelic. So it's really helping in their literacy in both subjects. So that's a really interesting model as well.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. John?
Yeah, just a ton of great practice and super ideas. I think, obviously, hopefully a lot more people jump in and give you far too much work to do. Going back to something you mentioned earlier, which was you touched on, and I've got it on my list of things to ask you, is the difference between generations. And I'd noticed this myself years ago when my daughter hit about 10, and we would emerge from the cinema and she'd be asking me, "What did you think, Dad?" And I'd say, "It was good fun, I enjoyed it." And she would start talking about themes and tropes and all sorts of stuff that there really seems, I mean, I think you suggested that children have had a different experience of film, and some of that to me seems to be around repeated watching when they're young of film. And do you think it's easier or just different to teach younger people sort of film literacy and be able to discuss film in a sort of literate way?
Yeah, I think nowadays with any sort of media being right in young people's faces, you know, and their attention spans and what they might intake is quite short. You know, they might be watching YouTube clips or things online or just short, sharp bursts of things or videos on people's phone or so on. And I think actually getting them to stop and think about what they've watched, why it happened, really understand that there's a purpose, a story. You know, every single film that's been made, there's been a reason the director's done that. There's a reason the producer's done that, as well as the themes within it. And I think that teaching through film in that sense is really, really powerful to actually get them to sort of just stop consuming it and being like, right, I just want to watch Wreck-It Ralph and Frozen and all that, and actually be thinking about what is a film, and why is it the way it is. And I think the age thing is really interesting because you'll find it in primary school that children will write, in this film this happened, it was very nice, it was fun, I give it 5 stars. In secondary, and what I'll also say is in primary, a lot of the girls have got the sort of stronger reviews, and when you see them written, their sort of written literacy is better as well. But then when you get to secondary, especially when you get to sort of third year, actually, they really, really get into the film. They'll talk about the narrative, they'll talk about structure, they'll talk about the themes, the meaning, and you'll find that that's where boys excel. And a lot of we do a review of the week competition, and you just need to look at that. And even when we're going through it weekly, we read every single of the thousands of reviews that comes in, and seeing how strong the boys are, that's what I find really, really interesting. And we did a survey a couple of years ago through Film Club that it said it was something like 88% sort of improved performance and attainment in the classroom from boys aged 14 to 16. And I just think that's a really powerful thing, that if we can embed them and make them understand and start analysing film in school, then we can even bring that up even more.
Yeah. Indeed. Sarita, do you find that these reviews, because I was looking at that on your website, you've got a whole section dedicated to the kind of film reviews of the week. Do you have kind of incentives there, or again, you're leaving it up to the schools to come up with encouraging the young people to actually produce reviews, maybe to peer assess and then follow it right through to the point of actually submitting them to yourself?
Yes. So there's overall incentive in the sense that the 10 selected reviews of the week, which are on that featured review page, when a film called Goodie Bag or and film review bag, which will have like a DVD that we select specifically for them. So we'll look at what films they've reviewed, and then our films team very nicely select one for them. T-shirt, pen, that sort of thing. But obviously that's 10 out of maybe thousands. But we also encourage schools to do their own incentives. So it might be that anything from winning a wristband, which we provide, but also to things like the really meaningful things, like you then getting to decide what films are screened the next week, or you can lead a committee of doing something like that. Winning, some schools have done things where they've won places to go on trips and all that sort of thing. In terms of support for doing that, things like the review writing workshop I mentioned, so I deliver some of them in person, but we also have materials that teachers can download on review writing guides for primary and secondary. We've got pre-recorded sort of webcasts that they can also watch, and then we really encourage them to build that in and use it as incentives within their club, within their classroom, and within their school. So anytime a school wins review of the week, so I think last week Kirkhall Grammar, one of my schools in Orkney, won, so I obviously let them know, and I think a Glasgow school won last week as well. It was a good week for Scotland, so basically I let the teachers know, and I obviously say to them, please let other teachers know, put it in newsletters, put it in bulletins, let parents know, because it's that real sense of achievement and the fact that not only other young people are reading your review, but that there's people at Interfilm reading it that really rated it and really enjoyed it. And I think you'll sort of see that the reviews that do win, they're very broad. They don't all have perfect spelling and grammar, and we always say that we don't mark on spelling and grammar, which is a shock to some teachers, but that's what the teachers do. What we want is for them to share their opinion. And we find that the more they write and the more they share that opinion, the better that their literacy and their spelling grammar is going to get anyway. And it's going to obviously increase their confidence. But also the fact that other people are reading it, the fact that they're helping maybe shape the views of other young people that go, hey, I want to watch that because you've told me it's actually quite good.
Yeah, brilliant. And I think that point about not marking spelling and grammar would actually strike a chord with a lot of teachers who they really want to target their marking. And if somebody's, you're actually targeting something else in their writing other than spelling and grammar, then lots of red or blue marks all over your work indicating spelling and grammar mistakes are probably not a good way, to get into formative assessment of the thing you're really interested in.
And we've also devised we've got a sort of blank review sheet, so we've got these little review postcards, so whilst young people can submit online, they can also do it on a little postcard and send it back to us. Some teachers keep it for display in classroom, but we've also got a sort of blank template, so that if you want to express yourselves through drawing and through art, then pupils can do that as well. And we did specifically develop that as part of one of our inclusion projects on special education needs, just to give more choice. Obviously that can work across sort of all pupils.
Brilliant. Another thing that you might consider is audio, and there's tools like Audioboo, which would allow people to submit short reviews for free from their mobile phones.
Yeah.
So that would be a really nice thing to do.
Definitely. What I should have mentioned as well is we're currently developing our digital platform. So whilst we've got our InFilm website and we've still got the old Film Club website that holds all the content, for the next academic year, we're creating this really, really interactive, intense digital platform. So things like that will hopefully be built into it, where it gives young people the opportunity to connect with us in so many different ways, as well as teachers. So teachers can log in, have their own area, and they can talk to each other, they can share best practice, they can find out maybe what's going on locally. We might have networks as well, where we'll say, right, you are in Angus, this is what's happening in Angus, and local screenings that might be happening, be it in an independent cultural cinema, mainstream, or maybe a community setting, and we'll be pinpointing them. We'll also have things like young people being able to upload their videos, and how that exactly works, I don't know, because I don't know the techie side, but really in that sort of, as I mentioned earlier, that celebration and that sharing of their voice. So all these sort of interactive ways and multimedia ways will be coming out in that platform. So that's really, really exciting, and the development there are sort of limitless in one sense.
Sounds fantastic. It just sounds wonderful. I wish I had a class at the moment to jump into that.
Yeah, I know.
Sarita, maybe just kind of going in a different direction for a moment or two, kind of putting you in the spot here a bit, but I mean, I was just fascinated at the start of the show when you were talking about your kind of long career or lead up to working with Interfilm. What kind of experiences then, or kind of skills have you taken from your previous posts, which sound very much around kind of, you know, children's rights, pupil voice, etc., democracy, into your current work?
So I would say sort of young people and children being at the centre of everything we do. So that's very much what I'm an advocate for. It's about who are the users of this. Yes, there's teachers, and we need to work out what suits a teacher best to ensure that it then meets children's need. And I think that's something I'm really passionate about. And while there can be some glitz and glam and where we take young people off to places like LA and London, really it's about the educational outcome for children, and it's actually about trying to transform their lives through film. And I think that my whole career has been trying to support and transform young people's lives and give them the opportunity to have a say, maybe have a say in a different way. And actually finding something like film, which I'm personally very passionate about, to do that was just such an exciting opportunity for me. And being able to sort of work in the curriculum, especially for curriculum for excellence, which is just such an exciting portal, as well as what we're now doing in sort of non-school settings, is just something that I think transferably I can work across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, just one more quick one, John, if you don't mind.
Oh.
I'm sure, I think it was at Teach Meet 5 towards the end of 2013. I'd heard you talk before about Film Club, and I was really excited about hearing, you know, what may have been a similar talk. It, you know, wasn't going to bother me. I was just wanting to hear more about these great ideas. But I think you went down the route of kind of key messages for teachers on copyright. And if I've got that right, can you give us kind of what the kind of headline ideas or statements were? Because
that,
it's an area we haven't spoken about yet tonight, but obviously a potential minefield, great opportunities for teaching and learning when you go down the kind of route of copyright and fair use, etc.
So I think most of the copyright stuff was covered by Scran. We actually have a resource out right now called Creating Movie Magic, which is on the Interfilm page. And that is really all about respect for intellectual property. So a lot of about when you're making a film, but also when you're using things from film. So that's worth checking out. But the copyright that Scran was talking about was to do with clips and images and stuff. But if you check out the Scran website, which I think is scran.ac.uk, that's got all the stuff on it there.
Superb. John?
Yeah, I'm quite interested in the copyright issue, and maybe I'll pop in a quick question about that in a minute. Just briefly, we've got a tweet from Caroline Brealey, who is in Orkney, I think, saying that one of the things she found the Get Into Film reviews were really good for was actually to help other children read, because they wanted to read these. They wanted Shetland. Sorry. Oops. Sorry, Caroline. So just because they wanted to read other children's views of films to decide which ones to watch was very good. I'm also kind of interested in the curriculum for excellence. You've mentioned it a few times, and obviously just listening to the sort of activities and the way they interweave with other different areas of the curriculum, all sorts of areas, not only literacy, but as you're saying, maths and all sorts of things. And I'd be interested in sort of just a very brief outsider's view of CFE compared to the say what goes on in England or Wales or indeed Northern Ireland.
So in terms of how it relates in terms of film and media I would say that CFE just delivers so many more opportunities for using film within all stages and ages of the curriculum. As I said before, film as a text is an immediate in, but really that whole part of being a creative individual and actually really, really shaping your own learning, as well as teachers being able to sort of help do that for other people. So I think it's just one way that film and moving image is really, really suitable for curriculum for excellence. But in saying that, Northern Ireland have got, they're sort of leading the way in some ways. So they have a moving image arts qualification. So it's a GCSE equivalent, I believe. And that's actually giving young people a real opportunity in that sense. So whilst in Scotland we've got media, if you make a film in media, it's not critically assessed. You still have to do a written assessment, which puts off actually quite a lot of young people. In Northern Ireland, they've got that really, really creative qualification. So that's something that we would like to strive towards in Scotland, and something that across the UK we want to be pushing forward for sort of good film and moving image qualification. But in saying that, there is a lot of ins in Scotland. But equally, each part of the UK, I'm sure, has its own positive areas and ways that we can really use film. And we've recently done in Lincolnshire, I think it was, a training with teachers via the NUT, and that was across primary and secondary residential training on using film, and you know, it really spoke to everything that they're doing as well. So I think we're at a really lucky time where we can bring it in so many ways, and film is being understood as a sort of text and as a medium across the whole of the UK.
Great, thanks. Yeah. For one question relating to the copyright thing, because obviously one thing a lot of young people are involved in is either posting film to YouTube or remixing wee bits of film from different or with other material, or just cutting a particularly short piece out that's interesting to them and posting that online, maybe with commentary and maybe not. And I wonder where that stands in the USA. I believe you can get away with quite a lot because of the right to create a parody to use something as a, you know, as part of a review or a reflection. And I wondered where we stand. I've talked to quite a lot of paper copyright people over here and it gets vague around video.
Yeah, so it is more vague, but in our Creating Movie Magic intellectual property resource, there's a lot of information in there about where it stands and what the sort of law is. What quite a lot of young people, when they're making films, don't even realise is about music copyright. Unless you've got the rights for a piece of music, you can't use it. And we find that quite a lot of submissions that come into our filmmaking competition can't be used because they don't have the permission. So we're really trying to educate young people and the teachers that work for them on what is and isn't okay copyright-wise. So that's a good starting off point in terms of finding out information for the Creating Movie Magic resource. It's not, I'm not sure of the sort of intricacies of it all, but it's something that we are working on. It's something that, because, you know, we're funded through the BFI, is that they want us to make sure that we're supporting the industry in that sense of making sure that young people are using film and accessing film in a legal and appropriate way.
Sure. I mean, I think with the music one, my reaction is just Kevin MacLeod. I don't know if you know Kevin MacLeod. He produces thousands of film-esque music for people to use for free. So that's my basic answer to any questions around music.
And there's loads of stuff built into programs now and everything that you can use when you're making a film.
But I'm still kind of interested in the area around, you know, for instance, you can quote from a text. If we're talking about digital literacy, I could put a piece of a text from somebody else's blog post.
I think if you are critically analysing something, I think it's all right. Don't hold me on this, but I was reading something recently where I think it's, so say you were using a still from a film, if you were just using it to say, right, we're doing a resource on this film and here's a still from it, then you'd need to get the permissions. But if you are, say, if you've got a still of Much Ado About Nothing, and in that scene, you are, it's something to do with that scene, and you're maybe annotating the scene and talking about it, and you are doing it about sort of critical analysis, then there is specific wording that you can put alongside that. That's how I understand it, but that could be not completely right. So no teachers sure. quote me on that, please.
I've never met anybody who said, quote me on
yeah, I know.
in regard to video, because it seems a very difficult area, but it's an yeah, area obviously of concern to
yeah, well, I do think it's something that Scran do as well, because they talk about if you download stuff from YouTube and use it in the classroom and stuff, yeah. because a lot of teachers obviously do that, and what they might be showing, they might the person that uploaded it might not have had the permission to use. So I would check out the Scran website as well.
Yeah,
no, that's good advice. Sarita, we're just coming into the last couple of minutes of tonight's show, and we've heard so many great resources and ideas this evening. This final question from me really relates, I suppose, to me in my role as a classroom teacher. I'm just kind of reflecting on why I haven't jumped in and set up a film club. I mean, I'm not an English specialist, although you know I do teach Access and National 3 English a couple of periods a week, and you know, we with the new curriculum have opportunities at certain times of the week during the school day and also after the school day where I could certainly invest time and resources in setting up a film club. So I'm just trying to think why I haven't done so. Now, obviously there's a concern about time. There's always not enough time to get the kind of day-to-day job done. There's also I think maybe just part of me just can't believe about how good a deal this is, in the sense that, you know, I'm thinking to myself, all I need to do is sign up and I just fill in a few forms and do it all online. It's dead easy, and then I get films sent to me for nothing. But is there no? I'm trying to think. You know, is there a catch at all?
There's no catch at all. And to be honest, you're right in asking, because not much is free these days, and especially yeah. resources. And films and stuff. So no, there is no catch. We are funded through lottery funding to ensure that we can support teachers to access this and use this in their learning. And it's as simple as that, really. And hopefully we'll continue to be able to do so. Our resources are all available to download online, as you said. You just need to sort of fill out the forms to get the DVDs and then all the sort of other things that we sort of commission the other opportunities there, then yeah, it's all free. And it's just I think that you maybe weren't as aware of it, and a lot of teachers especially in Scotland, because we are quite new, aren't quite aware of it, and it can just be some people might think, oh, I don't have the commitment to run a film club, and you know, we always say to them, you don't have to run it every week, it doesn't have to be every Tuesday, as long as there's some sort of regularity to it. Equally, now you could get involved in interfilm and just use our curriculum resources, or you could get involved in interfilm and just join a filmmaking project. So there is sort of now so many different avenues for teachers to get involved in, as to when it was just purely film clubs.
And so from your experience, I know you're still fairly new into the post, but from the schools that you've worked with in Scotland, what kind of capacities or approaches or skills do you feel that teachers need to have in advance of setting up a successful film club or associated projects, and what kind of pitfalls might there be that they need to look out for?
I think they need to be open-minded to the types of films that they might screen, the types of films that the pupils might want to watch, but also open-minded in the sense that it can really happen in any way that suits them. When I gave some examples earlier that hopefully demonstrated the fact that it is so different, and I think that they have to be, one of the pitfalls can be in terms of just keeping on top of it. So ordering your films, screening them, getting young people involved. But actually, once you sort of get into the swing of things, it's all dead easy. Your films start coming regularly. Once your sort of first batch arrives, you sort of get them. As soon as you pop more back in the post, you should have more sort of 2 or 3 days later. And I would say one of the best ways that teachers can do it is by getting pupils involved. That can happen in primary, it can happen in secondary. It's that whole point of pupil voice, is really getting them involved in deciding on the screening. So that can be we've got a wish list function, so when pupils log in, they can say what films they want to watch and teachers can take it from that. Or, as I said, you could do it through incentives, or you could have a committee with the rotating sort of decision-making function, but also getting them involved in the practicalities. So setting up the classroom, you know, when the bell rings and everyone's manically running around the school, get like four of your P7s to go and set up the media rumour that the classroom that they've got free, whilst the teacher sort of does what they need to do and then can get everyone together. So really sort of involving people, being open-minded, and just being sort of passionate about what they're doing. They don't need to be a buff about films. That's what our team's around for. We will try and take them on a journey from the sort of mainstream titles that they might want to order to begin with to ones that will challenge and open the eyes of their pupils a bit more.
And just finally from me, Sarita, there's so much support here around, you know, what we would call the curriculum in Scotland, the broad general education. Are there any plans to provide support to those teachers and classes who are working on the actual new national courses, say National 4, National 5, or the forthcoming new hire?
Yeah, definitely. So that's one of the things that was highlighted in our initial sort of advisory taking capacity that we did in sort of the late summer, autumn last year. And teachers highlighted that using film within English and media in nationals and hires would be support and materials for that would be welcomed. So we're just looking at what we could devise for that, be it quite practical guides on how to use it or more specific resources on certain films. And that's actually transferable as well. Some work, I'll just quickly mention that we're on at the moment is supporting Gaelic education. So the Gaelic and the English qualification are pretty much the exact same, just in different languages. But how to use film in Gaelic is a bit more limited in terms of what film you have. So there's scope there. The teachers we've spoken to in that piece of work have suggested perhaps a resource on Seacht, which is the main Gaelic film that exists. So we could do something like that, or we could do something more specific on how to use film in the classroom. So that's definitely something we want to do, and that's all part of really sort of making film a credible option for teachers to use in the classroom.
It's brilliant. It's just wonderful stuff to hear, and as I said, it kind of gives me a wee bit of appetite for doing that. And say, I wish for my partner, I wish it was in class. Another treat from Caroline in Shetland, and if you're still listening, Caroline, and talking to me, apologies for mixing islands earlier on. She just says film club's brilliant. It's that easy. She really enjoys watching the film.
Brilliant.
So it's fun for her too.
I didn't even know Caroline would be listening when I mentioned her school earlier. That's nice.
She's a reasonably regular listener, I think.
Yep.
I just saw some brilliant work from her kids and our kids in Shetland on go today. So good stuff all round. So can I just say thanks very much for putting up with all the questions.
Yeah, of course.
Interview, this overview of a sort of wonderful setup, and I hope, let's say, you're inundated with far too many requests for help after
this. Hopefully. I'm here to help them all, so obviously if anyone wants to get in touch, they can do it by the website, or they could get my email probably off of you guys, if they get in touch even generally, then one of us will get back to them and hopefully get them into film.
Certainly, and I'm sure we'll have links up with the audio on EduTalk as soon as possible.
Absolutely. And a nice bit of Easter holiday in service training. And that was the Thursday, the 3rd of April, wasn't it? The Tron Theatre, you said?
The Tron Gate. Oops, so there's a place called GMAC Film, which is on the Tron Gate, and it's on the 3rd of April. So if people want to come, they'll need to let me know, but they can do that via our website and email.
Yep, some of us will be on holiday that week, and for some it will be almost the start of the Easter holidays, I believe.
Exactly.
I'll certainly be looking into applying for a place at that event. So, and same as John, Sarita, thank you so much for appearing on Radio EduTalk this evening, and if we get any correspondence, we'll forward it on to you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Best wishes.